Our first scripture reading for the occasion of the Transfiguration is found in your Bibles in the book of 2 Kings, the first chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" He said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them. They were both standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I will do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." As they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, chariots of Israel and its horsemen." He saw him no more. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and we read verses 12 and 13 and chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul writes, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end." Continuing at chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. By the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, led them high up a mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. His clothes became radiant, intensely white. No one on earth could bleach them. There appeared to them Elijah with Moses. They were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. The cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one that what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the account of the Transfiguration, and in particular, this event which took place there. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. This is our text. It's somewhat inevitable, I guess, that whenever you have a large celebration, that over the course of time, various traditions and legends and myths become associated with them. It's happened to our most important Christian festivals, for instance. Christmas and Easter. Around Christmas time, supposedly, there's this white-haired guy with a red suit who comes and visits particularly children, leaving presents. Then he just disappears, not to be seen again until the following year. Then around Easter, when we're supposed to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, there's that little rabbit that shows up, bringing eggs, leaving them, and then disappearing. What's happened to our Christian festivals in the ancient world also happened with the Jewish festivals, the ones, in fact, that God commanded Israel to keep at the base of Mount Sinai for all generations. There were 3 of them: Passover, what we call Pentecost, which they called the Feast of Weeks, then another festival called Tabernacles. Another name for tabernacles is booths. It was a feast where you were supposed to go to Jerusalem and live in tents for a week. It occurred late in what would be our calendar year, late August, early September. And to all these festivals, different legends began to attach themselves, myths. One being that many of the significant Old Testament figures would show up. People like Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and Elijah. Those were the legends that had attached themselves to the Feast of Tabernacles. And as near as we can figure timing out the events of our Lord's life on earth, it was right about that time period of the Feast of Tabernacles that he gathered his disciples together, telling them what was going to happen to him. You read just before the account of the Feast of account of the Transfiguration. Our Lord had just told his disciples that he was going to be heading toward Jerusalem. The chief priests and the scribes, the elders, would kill him. But he also told them, but on the third day, he would rise again from the dead. He taught them about the resurrection. But is that just a myth or legend? To many in our world today, it is. Dead people really don't come back to life. They're just dead. Or even if people do believe in some kind of additional existence beyond this life, this flesh that we occupy isn't part of it. Hollywood has scores of movies where somebody mistakenly dies, some angel grabbed him too early, and he goes up to heaven, and then he's got to be put back, and he gets a whole new different body. We like to think, at least most humanity does, that somehow there's something eternal about us, but not this particular flesh. That's just a legend. Or a myth. As I noted, it was around the Feast of Tabernacles, to which certain legends and myths had attached themselves, although that feast was commanded by God, that it is likely that Jesus took his disciples up onto a mountain. Something wondrous happened there. As Luke records it, being somewhat specific, he just doesn't name two individuals that shows up. He calls them, in the Gospel of Luke, two men. There with Jesus, who is in his flesh, are people who supposedly were long dead. Elijah, who was bodily taking up into heaven, but also Moses, who died and was buried. There they are with Jesus, both alike, both alive. Recognize as men, although glorious in their nature. Talking with Jesus about what was soon going to take place in Jerusalem. And what Jesus had already told his disciples, that following Passover ultimately took place. That human flesh that he occupied was nailed to a cross. That human flesh which he had taken on when he came down from heaven died. Just like the flesh of Elijah, Moses. On the third day, Jesus proved to the world that what we believe, teach, and confess about the resurrection is not a myth. It's not just a legend. It is the truth of God. You know, our Christian faith is different from all the other faiths in so many ways. One way, like I always want to remind you, is that we are ultimately a faith that is rooted in grace, not in works. What God did for us through the person of Jesus Christ, it's a gift. A gift that he wants to give to the whole world. And all he asks of us is that we believe in that gift and lay hold of it and cherish it as he cherished the act of his only son. But the idea that we are raised from the dead in our flesh, that too is an almost unique belief in terms of all the religions of the world. And it's a belief that transformed lives. And not just today, it transformed people like Peter, who was a witness to it. To the transfiguration. Paul, whom we read earlier. How many of you would be willing to sacrifice your life for the Easter Bunny? Raise your hands. How many would you would be willing to sacrifice your life for that guy in the red suit? Raise your hand. Myths, legends, it can be fun. But serious adults are not going to make great sacrifices, including their own lives, to maintain them. But when you look at the lives of the apostles and the prophets, something different and unique. Remember that at the death of Jesus, Peter was so filled with fear, denied even knowing him. Paul, the apostle, he so despised what the Christian faith represented that he went around Judea, even traveled as far as foreign cities like Damascus to seek out Christians who were talking about the resurrection of Jesus, that he might bring them back to Jerusalem and have them killed. But in different ways, they both met the risen Lord. Their lives were forever changed by that event. Many times Peter or Paul would be stoned and beaten up. And ultimately both him and the Apostle Peter, and as far as we can tell, all the other apostles with the exception of John would end up giving up their lives to preach Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Not for any kind of earthly gain, as we read last week in our epistle lesson. Paul wouldn't take any money at all. In fact, he would support himself by tent making as he went around preaching Christ. Remember his words in 1 Corinthians 15, that great chapter on the resurrection. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are above all most people, the most people to be pitied. People don't do things like they did for myths, legends, dreams. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses. They were talking with Jesus. They lived, even though they died. Which is exactly what Jesus was telling to Martha, Mary. And sometime later, he was visiting the grave of Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. He who believes me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? You know, watching Jesus die the way he did, Peter may have had his doubts. Even though he'd been up on that mountaintop, even though he had seen Moses and Elijah alive, though they had died. But after meeting Jesus, resurrected in the flesh, he never had doubts again. It is not a myth or a legend or a dream that we follow, my friends. It is the truth revealed by God through his only Son, Jesus. And what he would bid us do is what he once told Peter, James, and John up on a mountaintop. It's a simple message, but it is one we must cling to and follow. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. God grant that throughout all our days we both listen to Jesus, follow him to our own glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.